You think we're simple, you think we're not bright. Look at your cities and ask yourself who's right. We've got country and you've got crime. We've got green and you've got grime. Let there be no doubt, we have what it takes to till the soil until our back aches. Just give us a break and don't be so rude. We love the work and you love the food. We feed you.
Hello, everybody. This is Scott Yates, Director of Communications and Producer Relations for the Washington Grain Commission, here with episode 34 of Wheat All About It, or what I'm calling The Many Hats of Mark Schessler. For those who may not know him, Schessler is not only an Eastern Washington wheat farmer, husband to Ginger, father to Veronica and Cody, and grandfather of three. The 60-year-old is also one of the most powerful men in state politics. In his role as the Republican leader of the majority coalition of the Washington State Senate for the last 3 years, Schessler is part of an iron triangle of influence that includes Governor Jay Inslee and Speaker of the House Frank Chop. In the legislature for 27 years, first in the House and since 2004, representing the state's 9th district in the Senate, Schessler has been described as a blunt-speaking social and fiscal conservative. In my previous role as reporter for the agricultural weekly Capital Press, I would occasionally interview Schessler about various issues of the day. I was impressed then, and remain so now, by his even-tempered attitude and approach to the world. I couldn't get an incendiary quote out of the man. During the just-completed legislative session, however, a reporter did get under his skin, but it was a minor kerfuffle, and Schessler later apologized. Schessler and I have wheat farming in common, but not our political affiliation. You see, I'm a Democrat. But where many people consider them fighting words, Schessler actually seems to thrive on discussing politics and life with those of opposite polarities. He has always treated me with respect, and I have always responded in kind, in the process developing an appreciation for the influences that have made him the man he is. Besides, we both have a deep appreciation for the wheat industry. Not to mention, we're both alumni of the Washington Agriculture and Forestry Education Foundation. More on that later. I could have produced a podcast here which does nothing but talk about the legislative session just passed, but I felt it would be more interesting for listeners to learn about what makes Schessler tick, which is why I drove to Ritzville August 4th to ride along with him in his 9770 John Deere Combine, a 2008 model machine that he brought used in 2010 for about $250,000, complete with header. Let me set the scene for our interview. I'm sitting in a jump seat next to Schessler. Before me, it's all window as the combine moves through a lush crop of winter wheat at 1.8 miles per hour. It's hot outside, but the air conditioning inside the cab is set at a pleasant temperature. Schessler is in the driver's seat, but he only drives at the end of the rows. Otherwise, he pushes the steering wheel out of the way and lets GPS-guided auto-steer do the work. He keeps his eyes on the crop, however, using a joystick with various buttons to slow and lower the header to pick up lodged wheat, the word farmers use for wheat that is laid over. The header, which is 30 feet long, cuts the wheat in front of it and shuttles it to the center of the machine, where it is gobbled inside to be threshed. It is something to behold the first time you see it, and even after many such ride-alongs, I still appreciate the technology that makes it possible. You can hear the thrum of the combine in the background of our conversation, but compared to some of the conditions I've fought in the field, this recording is pristine. When I asked Schessler to sum up his career in the legislature, he didn't mention the bills he's helped pass, the settlements he's helped negotiate, or the tax increases he's helped stop. What has stood out for him is the people his other job has enabled him to meet. Besides, being a senator is a lot easier than being president of the Washington Association of Wheat Growers, or WAG as it is known.
I've had a really interesting career. I mean, I think of the leaders in agriculture and business that I've had. For example, I barely knew Alex McGregor when I started. Alex and I have become great friends, a lot of admiration for Alex. Ed Schweitzer, the Bill Gates of the Palouse, man I have huge respect for, very interesting. I've sat down with executives from Boeing, Microsoft, Costco, others over the years. Some are great friends, some are interesting people. I've had a lot of opportunities that you just don't generally get to have.
Do you ever feel like you missed out on not being president of WAG?
You know, the decision was made that it was easier on my family to run for the legislature than be WAG president. Being WAG president is a really tough job. I've known probably 30 or 40 of our presidents. It's seldom an easy job.
I don't really want to talk a whole lot about the session we just passed, but I am curious whether during your history with the legislature you have ever been through a session that has been so, what's the adjective I would be looking for here?
Long, contentious.
All right. Have you ever been in another session that has been as long and as contentious?
No, this session went 195, well, the session itself went 105 days. Three special sessions totaled 90 days for 195. But one has to remember, we took on state funding of schools under what's called the McCleary decision. If this would have been easy to fund basic education, fair, equitably, amply, somebody would have done it a long time ago. So we took on a generational challenge, and a generational challenge isn't something that fits sound bites in a 105-day session.
Who was the biggest influence in your life?
It's hard to say any one person. I had a father that had a farming tradition. I had 4-H leaders, FFA leaders, many people I admired. You know, other than Dad, it would be hard to put that on any one individual.
Is there anything about being a farmer that has prepared you for life as a legislator?
I think it's fiscally the best training you can have. Farmers are reluctant to take on installment loans, debt that doesn't make sense. Government truly needs more of a farm thinking on debt that is sustainable.
And yet, I've also found that farmers, while they are fiscally conservative, they are also individuals who are very generous in other ways. How do you reconcile those two pieces?
Well, I think a lot of us have a faith background in local churches, that you took care of the unfortunate in your own communities, and you took care of them first. That's why when there's a fire, there's a harvest bee. When there's a disaster, you rally around your neighbors. That's the way life is in rural Washington.
And you think it should be that way everywhere?
Well, I think the private sector does a lot better than government. I look at how charities work versus government programs. I would go with the private sector on almost everything over government.
What was your thinking when you first ran for the House? Did you think that you would still be in Olympia in 2017?
Absolutely not. I was convinced I could solve the world's problems in 6 years with term limits, come home and lead a normal life again.
And you have discovered in the meantime what?
Well, it's a little more complicated than what you would expect. I never thought I had the talent to be in the Senate, let alone a leader. Time just worked in my favor, and people have been very good to me.
You've dealt with a lot of complex issues over the years. What were the three most difficult issues you've been able to shepherd through to a conclusion?
Well, I shouldn't take personal responsibility for shepherding any one of those through. I think that the McCleary school funding issue this year was a generational challenge. I was just part of it as leader. I think that doing a transportation package a few years back was one of those challenges. Nobody thought that a conservative Senate majority would ever pass a revenue and project list like we did. It was fun to prove them wrong. I would say perhaps back in the House when BSE came to Washington, I was one of the few representatives that knew which end of the cow you put the hay in first. So that put me in a leadership role there. But I've been a part of a lot of good things in government. Those are a few that come to mind that I don't take personal responsibility. I'm just glad I played a part in it.
Well, let's ask this question. What's the difference between being a majority leader of the Senate and being the Speaker of the House?
I think the power is more centered with the Speaker, where the majority leader leads but doesn't have the dictatorial powers that a Speaker seems to have in recent years. Senators, by nature, don't take orders well. They take suggestions. And you try and keep them going in a similar direction.
How would you describe the differences between a House member and a Senate member?
House members are focused on shorter term issues. The next election is this year, next year. Senators have a 4-year term and they take a longer term view of things. A senator will not worry about getting a study bill. They'll worry about getting the actual legislation. They don't worry about a bill that could be handled through a budget proviso. So it's a more thoughtful body and not as centered around that next election.
Fascinating. Finish the sentence. Compromise is...
Is the wrong word. I would disagree with that. I would say compromise has a place. So let's change from is to has, and it has a place. When you're taking on a complex subject like school funding, transportation, it has a place. There's absolutes. We all have principles. But compromise has a place.
I've always been impressed by how calm you have been in the face of what have been some really difficult emotional issues. How do you maintain your calm? Do you ever lose your temper?
I think experience teaches you to be calm. It's not your first rodeo. It's not your first hard vote. And I think I probably lose my temper about once a year. There's one reporter that I snapped at this year. Some would say he had it coming, but I should have used a better choice of words to send a message to a reporter that he was a jerk.
So do you actually raise your voice? I mean, do you get angry, or is it just the words that you choose?
I think it's both. I have to use a better choice of words as majority leader than senator from the 9th district, because I'm speaking for some solid conservatives like Mike Padden in the Valley and some moderates in King County.
So you are only a leader because these folks have agreed to follow you, correct?
I'd say so. They follow me, hopefully because I've got the experience and leadership to make them successful. My job is to make them successful, not myself. That's why you don't see a lot of bills with my name as prime sponsor. If I was a chairman, I'd probably pass more bills. As leader, you try to pass the big picture.
Does it provide a sense of satisfaction and a boost to your self-esteem to be in such a powerful position?
I think I'm not into self-esteem and things, but I believe that it makes it worth doing when you really affect the process. If you're a backbencher, you affect the process a lot less than in leadership.
I tell everyone I know how important your presence is in the legislature for agriculture and wheat farming specifically. but I sometimes get the feeling that agriculture takes you for granted. Do you have any thoughts?
I can't believe for a minute that ag takes me for granted. My best friends, supporters are in ag. Wheat growers, Farm Bureau have recognized me multiple times. I simply don't believe they take me for granted. I've just been there a long time, and they assume I always will be.
And will you?
You know, there's a finite ride for everybody. I never expected to be there 28 years, but at the end of this term, it'll be 28, and we'll see if that's long enough.
I know you were in FFA, and I've met several people recently for whom their FFA experience was an important component of their career success. But you're also an alumni, like myself, of the Washington Ag Forestry Program. Which of the two was most important for your career trajectory?
I couldn't say, because as a teenager, it shaped a lot of what I am with the FFA skills. Had I not gone through Ag Forestry, the likelihood of ever rising to be Senate Majority Leader probably never would have happened. So one gave me the tools, one took me over the goal line.
Oh, what a nice way to think about it. Now, you're a conservative Republican, and I'm a liberal Democrat. You seem to like me as a person. What's wrong with my political affiliation?
Well, the first step to recovery, Scott, is admitting you have a problem. No, I think, one of my favorite landlords is a liberal Democrat. She's at every wheat grower convention, but opposites attract, and I think it's important that you have relationships with people that aren't in lockstep with you. The late Representative Kip Takuta from Seattle was one of my very best friends. You can't just talk to the choir, and you know, at the end of the day, we have common interests, common ground, and you should have friends that aren't all like-minded.
I'm often surprised that Eastern Washington farmers vote against what I perceive as their best interests, and by that I mean that agriculture often does better under Democrats on the national level. What do you believe drives this conservative ethos?
Well, I think we will disagree on some of that, Scott. I think the regulatory climate under Democrats is far, far more difficult, and regulatory climate has been one of the things that has kept me involved in the wheat industry and agriculture in general.
But in terms of the farm bill, I always feel that the farmers get a better deal when Democrats are in power.
Sometimes I think we wouldn't need a farm bill if we didn't have Democrats in power. We can joke about these things as people have. I've known you for over 25 years. We can joke and laugh, just like I would with, you know, other friends. But if you go back, had we not had the Russian grain embargo, we probably wouldn't have had the glut of grain we saw in the 80s and the need for a farm bill with a more generous safety net. So clearly government can create a lot of the problems that then government needs to fix or tries to fix.
At the time that you do lead the legislature, would you ever think about serving on the Grain Commission, or once you have been to Paris, you don't want to go back home?
You know, I think I need to be involved in something when I leave politics. Grain Commission, co-ops, something of interest. I think my wife told me once it would be difficult to see me cold turkey.
She married you for life, not for lunch?
My wife never expected to be married to a politician. She fought it. She encouraged it. She's tolerated it. But she said, for me to go cold turkey would be really tough. And, you know, Ginger's generally right.
So you are not only a state senator, a powerful man in the state, but you are a farmer who has survived difficult times. As you look at the wheat industry, where do you see it going?
Well, we will see more consolidation. That's inevitable. We'll see more technology. And some of the fundamentals I believe in. Never be the first to adapt new gadgets, new technology, but definitely don't be the last. And I think fiscal conservatism is what makes for a successful farm.
Even a Democrat can appreciate what Schessler says about fiscal conservatism making for a successful farm. Cycles are a part of any business, but in an industry where Mother Nature is in the driver's seat, it's absolutely essential farmers have a healthy reserve to make it through the downtimes. Some of those outside of agriculture may wonder what Schessler was talking about when he mentioned BSE as one of those issues where he felt he played an important role. For the uninitiated, BSE stands for bovine spongiform encephalopathy, otherwise known as mad cow disease. A cow was discovered in Washington with it in 2003. It's interesting to hear Schessler say he came to notice in the legislature for being one of the few to know which end of the cow the feed went in. Certainly all of us involved in agriculture, liberal and conservative alike, can be grateful that the senator's knowledge extends well beyond cow physiology to agriculture of all sorts. Schessler means what he says, and he says what he means, a rare commodity in a politician, and probably why he could never get elected to national office, where obfuscation appears to be a requirement. But did you hear him talk about the importance of having relationships with people who aren't in lockstep with you? Certainly, if I could point to one problem in America today, it's that there isn't enough communication among the various elements that make up our so-called melting pot. And remember how Schessler finished the sentence. Compromise has a place. There's photos of my visit to Schessler's harvest, including a video I took looking down through the window of the combine at wheat being cut and gobbled up for threshing. That's it for episode 34 of Wheat All About It, or what I'm calling The Many Hats of Mark Schessler. Thanks again for listening, and I hope you'll join me again for another episode of Wheat All About It!
We're all children of a special treat, a miracle of nature that we just call wheat. A crop that's in the Bible, a crop that's in our bread, a crop that's filled our bellies and held us in good stead. Through a history of starvation and times of want and woe, wheat has been our savior, our grub, our gruel, our dough. There's always lots of problems when we have enough to eat, but there's only one dilemma when there's not enough wheat. We feed you.